This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
I just like this because now we know who our true friends are, right? Like we're learning.
I feel like
who's Rick, really Rick's a friend be, and who's fake.
Rick's trying to be on the fence, right? Because one pro comment yesterday then comes right back and smacks us in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's all. Look, we don't need people. We don't need supporters, right? Because we all we got.
See, you know what I'm saying?
That's all we need.
You know what I'm saying?
That's how I'm feeling. And we're putting this mixtape together.
I'm talking to you so bad.
I hope people got that movie reference. He couldn't finish the line, but it's New Jack City.
Yeah, yeah.
If you know the movie, you know exactly what comes next. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It is our number two. And we have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're putting the mixtape together, our workout mixtape that we feel like what you think will get us inspired so we'll get the best, maximum gains, the best we can out of ourselves. We're getting some songs from you already. We will put a list together. We'll put it on Spotify tomorrow. We can share it with all of you. So let's make this a good mixtape. So we got those. We'll get to them. But I do want to go back in time, if I may. Because we talked about something in early April, and I mentioned it, and you, when I brought it up, you were just like, what? And I said, watch this with the Lakers, because the sense is that this is what's happening behind the scenes in LA after that disastrous season, and it is coming to fruition. So here, let's go back to April 6th.
Don't underestimate the presence of Phil Jackson. Mm. What if I told you? If Kurt Rambis and his wife still have influence over Jeannie Buss, and you know Jeannie still has, at least it's not the same as it used to be, but a personal relationship with Phil. And Phil's the lasting memory of Phil Jackson was an abomination in New York that we're still, years later, resonating here. Mm-hmm. Mistakes that he made. So does he want to go out like that in this sport?
Nah.
Or does he look at the Lakers and LeBron and say, I've coached stars. I can get this right. Give me one more shot. I know this is absurd. I get it. It's absurd because the man is 76 years old. He'll be 77 when the season starts next year. Yeah, it's ridiculous to think that he would ever coach again. And maybe he wouldn't coach. But that franchise, as a caller said to us before, needs leadership.
Now, is it ridiculous? Is it crazy? Here's Adrian Wojnarowski yesterday.
This is very much a committee in L.A., putting together this coaching search. And one person who is certainly significantly involved in this process is Phil Jackson. He's got a voice in this. He did last time when they hired Frank Vogel. He was, you know, he and Kurt Rambis, he had been somebody they had considered with the Knicks before hiring Derek Fisher in New York.
Now, I am not a seer like Barstradamus, but I am a conduit of God. And the Lord spoke to me and he told me, Phil Jackson has returned. The prodigal son has returned.
What if I told you?
To the City of Lights.
Well, great.
So with that in mind, do you think it's going to get worse or better in L.A. with this? I told you this, it was rumbling. I told you back in early April, Woj, who knows everything, comes out and says this yesterday. Stephen A. had some thoughts on it, too, on First Take that we'll get to. But let's just start with the fact that that's a real thing. So now you've got the drama in L.A. that starts with Clutch, LeBron, that group that people think are running the franchise that have great influence. Rob Pelinka, who's the GM who's supposed to be running the franchise. Jeannie Buss, who owns the franchise. And then there's her close companions that are advising her, which includes Phil Jackson. Can all of that coexist, or is this heading to even a bigger disaster?
Yeah, I'm telling you, you think about the relationship between Phil and the comments from way back in the day about the posse, the crew, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, you know there's no relationship.
You got LeBron, so, you know, I don't – but he's talking to Jeannie. But if LeBron hears that the influence is coming from there, I wonder if LeBron's just going to, you know, put it into that quickly when he knows he's been involved, so he doesn't want him being involved. And who do you side with, the person that's going to be there longer or LeBron James? You know, also
– what coach wants this job right now? Think about it. It's the Lakers. It is a premier job. It's LeBron James on your team. It's L.A. But are you sure?
It's complicated. It's too complicated. And you think about, you know, the fact that Kurt Rambisils has influence. So who's in charge here, right? You don't know who's in charge.
Nobody knows.
LeBron Clutch who's the general manager? Kobe
Rob Pelinka.
Rob Pelinka. Mm-hmm. Is he in charge? Is Genie in charge? You know, heavily influenced by.
And if you're a head coach,
but on the glory days,
how can you coach a team when you don't even know who to go to?
And also, Phil's going to say, "Hey, I brought Vogel in, and we won a championship. Remember, that was my suggestion. Like, yeah, I know it fizzled out, but that's because LeBron decided to go get Westbrook.
Remember, Phil is a guy that doesn't believe that the player should have that much power.
Yeah,
he doesn't believe. Now, did he? He also coached Michael, who. Just, I want to play, and that's all. Like, Jordan was not.
He wasn't trying.
We learned that from The Last Dance. Like, Jordan was just the guy, like, did they have their
fun?
They had their fun with Jerry, with Krause and all that stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah, like, this is just.
Personnel was not up to him.
Like, put the team together, let's go. Kobe was a little different. Kobe was more of a vocal guy, but he and Phil, they coexisted, right? I don't know. LeBron and Phil Jackson, there's just, I don't know how that coexists. Now. With that in mind, as I asked that question, who will take this job? The rumors have been that Nick Nurse, who's done a great job in Toronto, would be the hot commodity, and that the Lakers would – there was that story that came out. The Lakers are going to go full force and try to lure him from Toronto and get him there because he's a great coach. Masai Ujiri, who's the president of the Raptors, who's had to deal with this before, including somebody trying to get him out of Toronto.
Yeah.
He had a really interesting thing to say about the Lakers trying to get Nick Nurse.
No team has contacted me, and I see all the stuff that you guys see. I dream like they dream. Yeah, I want Messi. I want Ronaldo. I want Kobe Bryant. Yeah, so they keep dreaming. I dream too. Oh, I'm not going into that, Grange. Our dreams, just like the Lakers.
So he basically said, "You ain't getting my guy. Keep dreaming. We're not letting him out of his contract."
They still trying to get him.
Right, like, that's what I mean. The Washington Wizards tried to get him. Yeah.
I wonder if the Lakers say, "Hey, you can be a package deal. we'll take both of y'all, and we can get Pelinka up out of here."
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, there's a lot of ways to do it, but the Lakers are. To me, again, that whole story, what's going on there, is something to watch. Because what started out as LeBron going there and then winning a championship in the bubble to now with Westbrook and an immovable contract, and also Anthony Davis, who has really gone L.A. on
Mr.
everybody.
Glass.
But not only he's gone to L.A., he's a little too Hollywood now. I mean, I want to see what his offseason is going to be about because that dude's got to get himself into actual elite shape again. He's too young to not be in elite shape.
Yeah.
I mean, he's looking like, did you see?
He's going to be looking like Giannis.
Yo, did you see Giancarlo Stanton running the bases last night?
I saw him running to the wall.
Stanton, by the way, he's a good guy.
He's an Adonis, too.
And he looks like straight out of he's a statue.
Like he etched out of like the Atlas Stone.
Yes. But yet, when he's running the bases,
like
it's almost
hurt.
Like you can hear his head going, ow, ow,
yeah,
ow,
like
ow,
his feet
ow.
Hurt, yeah.
So my son and I are watching, so Donaldson gets the double. They're playing the Blue Jays last night. They blew them out. I mean, the Yankees have been playing phenomenal. Stan's running, and my son goes, does he know the ball's in play? Like, he's jogging.
Right.
Like, I'm saying, I think that's top speed. You know, but I watch Anthony Davis, I think of the same thing. Yeah. Like, yo.
That
like,
doesn't look effortless. Doesn't look
you
fluid. Look,
you're too young to move like that.
Oh, man. Like, so, it's like watching Pujols the other day. Like, Pujols was
at least he's old.
Yeah,
beat
but
up.
He was like, damn, Pujols, like, for real? Like, yeah. My fat uncle, Steve, like, I still got a fat uncle, like, that's 40 years old that can do, well, not 40, like, 50, do backflips.
Yeah, I there's something about what's going on with the Lakers that you can't ignore. And because when you bring Phil Jackson into the fold, knowing the history, those who are listening that might not know the history, when Phil was in New York and he was talking about LeBron and stuff, he was commenting for whatever reason on why LeBron left Miami and that why that broke up with Phil with Pat Riley. And he talked about LeBron and his posse. And LeBron took that very personal.
That's code word for like hoodlums in our community. Like, so he didn't maybe.
I don't think Phil meant that.
Maybe he didn't mean it that way.
He was just using a colloquialism. But he wasn't really trying to throw shade. What he was saying, and LeBron's like, no, we're a business. These are business partners.
Yeah.
And he got offended by it. It became a big blow up and it was ugly. And
prevented him from coming from New York.
So many things. I've run out of all the reasons why he wasn't ever going to play for the Knicks. But the point is I can never see them coexisting. So if he's now got an influence in L.A., it does lead now to the next domino of this whole story. And this is where it really gets interesting. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. There is, yes, a second chapter to this story that we're going to get to in a moment. We got your call certainly as well. But first, I do want to tell you about O'Reilly. Because if your vehicle squeals, Bart, grinds when you slow down, or just isn't stopping like you used to, like it used to, you may need new brake rotors and brake pads. Now through May 24th at O'Reilly Auto Parts, get 15% off a set of Brake Best Select or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors. Restore safe braking and save money now at O'Reilly Auto Parts or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
How many people have a say with who the next head coach is going to be? Jenny Buss, Kurt Rambis, Linda Rambis, Rob Pelinka. Where's Rob Pelinka in all this? Phil Jackson now?
Don't underestimate the presence of Phil Jackson.
Does he look at the Lakers and LeBron and say, I've coached stars. I can get this right. Give me one more shot. You never know. But where there's L.A., there's drama. And where there's the Lakers, that's what you've got right now. As LeBron is going to Paris, he's got his interest in his soccer team and he's putting a lot of effort there, but he's also watching the NBA playoffs and he's tweeting like crazy because you know he can't stand not being part of this. It's rare for him to not be in the midst of this right now in the arena. But what's going on with the Lakers? And then there's questions now. All right, well, where do the Lakers go from here? They got to get a coach. I don't know who's going to take the job, especially now with the latest of Phil Jackson emerging in that franchise. And there's yet another voice now that's going to try to dictate what happens.
So many chefs in the kitchen.
Yeah, there's a lot. So with that in mind, Stephen A. Smith had something to say on First Take that I think we need to listen to and consider.
I want to announce to the American public that I think the Los Angeles Lakers should strongly consider trading LeBron James. It's no shade at all. It's a testament to his greatness, and it's a compliment to him that I'm saying this is what the Los Angeles Lakers should consider. If I'm the Lakers, mm-hmm. I'm calling Cleveland because they got some young talent. Okay, and the brother is from Akron. He already won the championship, delivered the championship. I mean, he's LeBron in Cleveland. I'm calling Cleveland. I'm calling Miami because they got some. I mean, you talk about Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero. They got some young talent. I'm calling Utah. Donovan Mitchell, you want out? D-Wade, little minority owner up in there in Utah. I'm calling Utah. You got Portland, Dame Lillard. I'm making these calls. I'm taking all options. All I'm doing is throwing out teams for you because if I'm the Lakers, I know I ain't going nowhere. What I got to do is prevent from falling off the cliff entirely and completely stinking up the joint for years to come.
Now, Bart, you brought that up when I brought up Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
And I shot you down. So there's no way they're going to trade him, right?
That's the only asset they have. You can't trade Anthony Davis because he's too brittle. They're like, well, what am I really getting? How available is he going to be? LeBron is the only asset that they have to maybe bring something back that can be a building block foundation. And you build around Anthony Davis with young guys where he can be the alpha male there. But you have to get depth there. You know, and LeBron can block whatever trade he wants.
No, he can't.
He's LeBron James.
Right, he can with influence.
It has to be something where you have to consider where would he want to go. And Cleveland is one of the places because you heard him trying to, flirt with them a little bit.
Can I give you a team that Stephen A. did not bring up that I think is the most likely of this? Look, you can call this a hypothetical. You can call this a far-fetched scenario. J.J. Redick, by the way, just completely destroyed Stephen A.'s take here.
Yeah.
Like, he came back and I'm like, he's not going to Utah.
He's not going
there.
He's got a new movie coming out, Space Jams 3, and he wanted to introduce it in Sundance.
Right. So he was, and J.J. gave you all the measured reasons why this is a crazy take. But as I listened to Stephen A., I said, no, it's not a crazy take at all.
Yeah.
And here's why. There's a team missing from the list that I think is the most likely team if this scenario was to play out. If, let's say, the Lakers and LeBron sat down in a room and he's looking at Phil going, I'm not going to be part of this. And the Lakers said, well, we're not letting you run this franchise because you screwed us up.
Can I guess?
And then he said, all right, well, let's move on. Guess. Go ahead.
For a second, I wanted to say I know he has an affinity for Luka Doncic, but I don't know what they can give back in return.
All right, I'll tell you why that doesn't make sense. I know people in Dallas who have told me the reason why Porzingis was traded was not because Luka and KP didn't get along off the court.
Yeah.
Is Luka's not used to – he doesn't like giving up the ball. He doesn't like having to defer. He right. is a I'm the centerpiece and everything rotates around me kind of guy, and he's happiest that way. And when KP was in the game, it's like, you've got to get him shots. We got to get him shots. And Luka's just kind of like – take your, you know what I mean? Like it just, yeah. it didn't fit. So okay. LeBron well, and he do not make sense together because they're both, you know, high usage yeah. ball dominant players.
Denver got the talent. Could you imagine with Jokic if you give up Jamal Murray and Porter?
Yeah, I'm not thinking of Denver.
Okay. Okay. Well, you got me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go back a couple of weeks ago when LeBron was talking about a player in his barbershop that he would love to play with. And it felt like such an innocent thing that was recorded. This was recorded a while ago. But then why was it released now? You know who that player is?
Steph Curry.
Mm. And you're going to tell me, the Warriors traded. Remember, the Warriors got Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant helped them win championships, right? So they have done that before. Steph Curry has played with a guy of that magnitude before and have had great success. They are friends. Who would say that if the Lakers said, all right, they want to move on, and LeBron said, I want to go somewhere, but I want to stay in California.
Yeah.
I want to go up in that tech, you know, Silicon Valley. I want to be close enough to L.A. so I can still be in touch with my family. I don't have to move anybody. And
makes sense.
What do the Lakers want? Well, they've got some young players.
Wiseman, big size.
Kuminga.
Now you don't have to worry about Anthony Davis ever having to play the five ever again.
And what else do they have?
Why? I love
they
I love,
have No, they have Laker blood there. Who is it?
Clay.
Clay Thompson.
You can't. They're not giving up Clay. He's an untouchable. They would give up those other pieces and draft picks.
Are you sure?
Listen.
Are you sure?
With Anthony Davis, I mean, the good thing about LeBron going there, he's a facilitator by nature. He wants to be a assist guy. So you think about him facilitating open shots and running, driving, dishing to Steph, and they're not getting.
You talking about a death lineup?
Yeah, they're not getting rid of. They're not getting.
You're saying Clay is off limits.
They'll get Draymond before they get Clay. Nobody wants Draymond.
No, Draymond's not going anywhere.
If you give him Kuminga,
Wiseman,
Poole. No, Poole is value. Poole has value.
You'd have to give, and then obviously, if you're the Warriors, Steph Curry being his age, is it worth it to you as the Warriors if this crazy scenario I've just dreamed up, and actually it's not just me, Jay Will and I have talked about this offline a lot. So I'll give credit to Jay Will as well. If you're the Warriors,
That's two championships. You can print two championships.
Don't you have to?
You can print
two
championships.
While Steph is still what he is.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
As long as you got Looney, you don't really need Wiseman. Wiseman, Poole, Peyton Jr. the second.
No, I don't know. But, I mean, you can't give.
Are you throwing Wiggins away? You're getting rid of Wiggins. Poole is a.
If you're the Lakers.
Yes.
Is this worth it to you?
Yes.
Because you get younger and you still have Anthony Davis.
Kuminga.
You don't really need Wiseman.
Kuminga, Wiseman. I'm giving you. No, Anthony Davis hates playing the five. I'm giving you a big.
Ooh, Wiseman, Davis, Kuminga. There's your front court.
And Poole.
And then Poole's your two.
Yo.
And then you have Russell Westbrook for one more year.
Yeah.
Ask
the people. Is that enough?
I am.
Is that enough?
That's why I'm bringing it up to you. Or is it crazy?
No, that is perfect. I think that's one of those rare win-wins for everybody.
Nuno from the Greeny Show, hashtag Nuno, just texted me. And I was thinking of this too. Because Ty Lue is coaching the Clippers. And would LeBron just say, I want to stay in L.A., I want to go to the Clippers? Well, here's the problem. There's no way the Lakers are doing that.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, the Clippers are like, we're so tired of Kawhi, let's just flip them.
Cool.
but that's way too much to figure out, and it's in the same town.
And those are still two old dudes with bad injury history.
That. Yeah, no, but that's the Lakers want to reset, get younger, and still have
players.
Anthony Davis as okay. Well, we're going to make Anthony Davis our centerpiece, and we're going to put some young talent around.
Wiseman's not making money. Poole's not making money.
If you're the Warriors, is it worth it? Is it worth
Kuminga?
It? Because you are gutting
your
young group now, gutting it.
Yeah, Kuminga, right. To win.
I'm asking that question. I think you can't just say no. You got to give me a reason why. If you're telling me no, tell me why it's no. But this is just for fun because LeBron has said nothing, but just seeing the way the things are happening in L.A., could a divorce be coming? Why not? Because LeBron does have the option after next year to walk away. He can. He can just walk away. If you're the Lakers.
You want to get something for him if he's walking away.
If he's kind of had it there, if he doesn't like what's going on, if Genie's like insisting on, no, we're not letting you guys run this franchise. I got to get back control of this thing. We need a coach who you'll listen to and all that stuff. Then if there's a divorce to be had, if you're the Warriors, do you jump on this and try to win not one but multiple championships before it's over? 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. I just –
But if you win a championship, if you win a championship this year, all bets are off. It's only if you lose if they feel like we lost something that they do that.
Fair point. Andre's in Massachusetts. Andre.
Yes, thanks for taking the call. Listen, I just wanted to chime in briefly that Phil Jackson, when he uses the term posse, he's coming from a Midwestern background. Phil's from Montana. And so I don't think there's any, you know, connotation. Bart, you bring up a good point. You know, it can kind of come off a certain time. But to the specifics, the Lakers right now are trying to wrestle power away from Clutch Sports and LeBron James. Magic Johnson had his tour on ESPN talking about the DeRozan trade. And I think these are subliminals. The Lakers recognize LeBron is on the downside of his career. They need to get younger. They need to find pieces they can build around. And LeBron needs to be receptive to that. They botched a deal with DeMar DeRozan that would have worked. And so this go-round in the offseason, I think the Lakers are saying, Clutch Sports and LeBron, you guys are not in the driver's seat. We are. And at the end of the day, I think this is what it comes down to. LeBron needs the Lakers more than the Lakers need LeBron. He wants to build his brand to be this mogul. For that, he has to be in L.A. So I think they have the upper hand and some leverage. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Andre. And I'll add that I actually think if you're the Lakers, of course, you desperately need LeBron. But if you're LeBron, I mean, the Warriors give you the opportunity to do something that you are trying to do, which is win more titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do the Lakers offer that same ability? The argument right now is no, they don't. Not the way they're currently constructed, and they don't have a lot going for them to rebuild that roster easily.
And the Lakers know. I mean, they don't have a first-round draft pick to 2023,
that's what I'm
saying.
And they were trying to trade that one.
Yeah, and you look like Phoenix not going anywhere. Next year, Denver's going to be a problem.
Yes.
And if Rudy Gobert if Rudy Gobert finds himself in Dallas, that can be a major problem, a major deterrent for LeBron. He may have the fifth or sixth best team in the West.
A lot of things to consider here. So we want to get your calls on this, of course, mixtape as well. We've got your calls coming up. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. So again, we'll continue with the mixtape suggestions. We got some good ones so far. We've seen some on Twitter as well. But I also want to get something, Bart's take on something that an NFL quarterback said.
I can't wait for this one.
Oh, okay. Everybody. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
You know, I have no problem with Malik, and we're competing against each other. We're watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him.
It ain't his job to mentor Malik Willis. You know what it would be, though? It would be nice. It would be nice for him to mentor him. It would be nice to be in the quarterback room and bounce things off of him as opposed to him just watching what you're doing. Because watching what you're doing, last time we saw you out, ain't going to keep him a job at a quarterback either.
Oh, yes. That doesn't get you fired up. You know something bad is about to happen when that starts playing.
The Death Star coming.
Yes.
Luke, I am your father.
Was that the worst Chewbacca ever?
Yeah. Was that a Chewbacca? I thought you burped. That was lunch.
I couldn't roll my R's.
Renee was built for it.
They just rolling the R on top of each other.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We want you to try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. You heard a little bit of it there, but I wanted to get Bart's take on this. I heard Marcus Spears also give his take. So Ryan Tannehill spoke yesterday, and the quarterback of the Titans, he revealed that he went through some depression after the playoffs. Like, he really took it hard and had to go through some counseling. It just really took him to a dark place. Then what happens is the draft happens, and Malik Willis, the quarterback from Liberty, that everybody before the draft was loving as a prospect and maybe a bit of a project but had great potential, just kept tumbling and tumbling down the draft until the fourth round, right? Mm-hmm. When the Titans moved up and decided to select him. which now, of course, when that happens, we go right to the veteran quarterback and think, uh-oh, you know, what's this mean for your future? Are they finding your replacement? And a question asked of Ryan Tannehill was simply, are you planning on mentoring the young quarterback?
You know, I have no problem with Malik, and we're competing against each other. We're, you know, watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but, you know, if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing.
Your thoughts, Bart?
We had the same thing with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love.
Yes, we did.
We've had this same thing with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. We've had the same thing with Tom Brady and Jimmy G.
Yep.
What? But can we finally just quit trying to put lipstick on a pig and say that quarterbacks are the most arrogant, narcissistic, selfish positions in all of sports? Because the first time they bring a kid in here that can compete for your job, like, I've never heard anybody say, oh, we're competing for jobs. Like, every other position on the team, every year, they're drafting somebody. You think Corey Davis is going to tell Gary Wilson, yeah, you can't ask me no questions. You think Mims is sitting there like, hey, yeah, you don't get any questions.
Has that ever happened?
Listen, I was in the league, and I became a starter, like, after my third year. They drafted Tavares Gooden, high, number three, from University of Miami. They drafted Prescott Burgess from University of Michigan. They drafted Anquan Barnes from Florida International. They drafted DeMario Davis. Like, and I helped every single one of them. Because you know what? That's my obligation. Not only to the player that's going to be in a room with me, but also to somebody that's in the fraternity. So now what happens is these quarterbacks don't want to have to fight and scratch like every other position does in the league. Right? You don't think Michael Carter's like, damn, they just drafted Breece Hall, and Breece Hall is that dude in college, number one on the board. What does that mean for me? You know what I'm saying? Listen,
they took him in the second round versus Michael Carter.
This is the thing. We all going to die a football death. A coward dies 1,000 deaths. A soldier dies but one. Anybody that's ever played with me said that, hey, I was a resource for them, not only about football, but about life. These cowardice quarterbacks that are so afraid that they're going to lose their job, that they will self-sabotage their team. Now, what about if Malik Willis is a key part in getting you guys to a Super Bowl and assisting you? What if you get hurt, and because you haven't told him anything, you guys lose meaningful games and can't get in the tournament? So not only do you not win, you lose another opportunity to try and get what you played this game for, is to be a champion and be immortalized, because you were too afraid that if you help him, if you helping him in his rookie year makes him surpass you that fast, and you wasn't that damn good to begin with. Mm-hmm. If a rookie, after you've been in the league, Ryan Tannehill is 33 years old, so I'm assuming that he got in the league probably about 2000, you know, when he was 20. 21 years old. He's been in the league at least 11 to 12 years. You mean to tell me a rookie can come from Liberty, not some powerhouse, and run your spot in 1 year or 2 years? Then you the man enough for the job anyway. So, like, how afraid and insecure are you that you're afraid because they drafted a dude in the fourth round that he's a threat? Oh, is it because you Wally Pipped or that you took Marcus Mariota's job? The same way, listen, same thing make you laugh, make you cry. At some point, everybody in this league gets cut. But you, listen, you have a choice of how you decide to die. You can die like a man, or you can die like a coward. He's dying like a coward.
Now, Ryan Tannehill's going into his 10th season. He did not say he wouldn't work
with
him.
It's not my job. No. It's not my job. Means suggest that you're not going to try it.
But he can learn things from me. Again, leadership by example. Another point, though, too, is remember last year in Chicago. Justin Fields,
Dalton.
They first signed Andy Dalton. They gave him, $10 million?
Yeah,
right, whatever it was they gave him.
That's pocket changing.
And, well, they gave him what seemed for 1 year to be there, and what did they call him? Yeah. You were the QB1.
Yeah.
Then they drafted, moved up, had the opportunity to get Justin Fields. They drafted him. And what did Andy Dalton said the same thing. I'm here to compete.
It's a quarterback position. I bet you right now, we had Michael Carter on the show. We said, hey, man, like, what are you going to do with Breece Hall? Breece Hall's about there. Hey, man, he part of the club. He part of the stable. And we tell him everything
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what other positions would say.
Interesting.
cornerbacks, safety,
so it's a
receivers.
So this is a weakness thing. This is because
it's Tom his quarterback.
Now, if you ask Jimmy G, and I actually interviewed Jimmy G about this, he said Tom Brady was great with him, showed him everything.
Told him one question.
He said he was great with him. Brady on the Man in the Arena talks about when they got Jimmy G, and he said, "I just looked at him as okay, we're teammates. Let's go." Like there was no animosity or none of this, like, I'm not here to teach you. But what he did do is include him. So if this is what we're doing, this is what we do. Come on. This is what we do. Mentoring is pulling out like what when Sam was a rookie, it was what's his face? They gave him
It was McCown.
McCown, right. And you'd see McCown with the book and he'd be showing him things and teaching him things, talking to him.
Yep.
Like if you're Ryan Tannehill, I got to worry about getting the job done. I can't keep walking over this kid teaching him.
Hell no.
I think that's what he's trying to say.
No. He's saying, I'm not about to help this kid take my job.
You think it's more about that?
Yeah, that's what he basically saying. Meanwhile, if you ask DeMario Davis right now.
I think he's saying the kid should know to come in and watch. You'll learn that way.
No, I'm going to watch you throwing interceptions. How I'm going to watch if I don't know the why? How I'm going to know, I saw what you do, but I don't know why you did it, so how does that help me?
All right.
That's like somebody showing you the answers to an equation.
Patrick Mahomes was very complimentary of Alex Smith.
Alex Smith handled the same situation.
Yep.
See, that's a different. I mean, I'm looking for Stas in the back, and I forgot that he's God. He's a ghost of God.
He is the voice of God.
But that's a stand-up guy. That's a guy who gets it because he knew Patrick Mahomes there for his job. But he said, listen, I can either choose.
He set the table for him.
Right.
But that's all right. He set the table for him.
He died like a man because it cost him his job a couple years later. But he died like a man. He died like a man, not a coward. Right now, Ryan Tannehill is in his feelings and acting like a coward because you're supposed to do what's in the best interest of the team. And if you get injured like most quarterbacks do this year, like, this is how many backup quarterbacks was around.
Listen, we got
to
run.
This guy don't know what to do.
We got to run, but I'm adding the best interest of the team is for me to be the best QB1 right now, and I got to focus on that, not being a mentor.
So you can't walk and chew gum, too. Ask DeMario Davis.
Just follow me and do what I do, and you'll learn.
Ask DeMario Davis after practice, sitting around, explaining to him the coverages, understanding formations.
But who's to say they don't do that in the quarterback room?
No, he ain't doing that.
Let's leave it here. We can pick this up again.
It's not my job to mentor. It's exactly your job to mentor.
We can pick this up again. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We get your thoughts.
Cowards and Compton get sprayed
on this, on LeBron, and, of course, the Barton Hahn workout mixtape. All that coming up. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart's got some hot sauce all over the place.
Look, Yoda's my... Look,
he's so happy.
Grogu.
My wife loves these baby Yodas, so she gets these things. This one, I think I tried to make it work. I had to turn the switch on, but it talks. Not like Grogu doesn't talk. It makes those, Yoda noises.
I swear it looks like he's smiling.
He is smiling. He's happy. He's with us.
But it looks like he wasn't smiling at first, and like he starts smiling.
No, that's Thug Yoda back behind us now with the Barton Hahn hat on. He's got it low. That's Thug Yoda.
Thug Yoda. Do or do not. There is no try.
All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get some more song ideas from people. Lou's in Jersey. What's up, Lou?
Oh, I'm on, yo. What's good? What's going on? May the fourth be with y'all.
No doubt.
And with you.
Oh, yeah, man. Listen, I got three bangers for y'all. Y'all trying to get hype so y'all can smash Keyshawn and J. Will?
Let's do it, man.
How about some hardcore from M.O.P.? The Victory Freestyle, Lloyd Banks featuring 50 Cent.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
And an obvious one, the song from y'all intro, Time for Some Action.
Oh, yes.
Reggie Noble, Redman.
I mean... Time for Some Action probably has to be on it because it's in our intro. We got to get some Public Enemy. Welcome to the Terror Dome.
Yeah, I like my upbeat too, though. I like the quiet storm.
Shook ones.
And we have such things as Halfway Crook.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, the P.E. is a given.
Should we get some Onyx? Da-da, let the boys be boys.
Sam! Yeah. let's go Mike in Ohio. What's up, Mike?
What's up, y'all?
What's good?
Hey, y'all should come out to the song Ski Low. I wish I was a little bit taller.
Not me.
How about that?
Han is 6'6", son.
Yeah, I'm 6'6", man.
Son, Han 6'6". He the tallest person in the game.
No,
we Gucci.
No, that's what I'm saying. You do that. so Jay Will can hear it.
Got you. You know, with that little bald head, he kind of looked like Ski-Lo. I never noticed that. He kind of looked like Ski-Lo.
Hey, that's one of the best songs. Thank you. Actually, I love that song. There it is.
I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her.
Hat? 6 foot baller. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Let's get one more in here real quick. Rob in South Carolina, real quick. What do you got? What song?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. I got two quick ones for you. One rap one is Digital Underground, Do What You Like. And the rock, classic rock one would be Intruder Van Halen.
Oh, yo, if you heard Intruder Van Halen, that's killer. But there's also obviously Right Now. We're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
Oh, this is in the cantina.
I feel like the black and white things where they got the top hat. No, Lord Hardy.
Yeah. this is obviously, you hear this song. Yeah. All right, thank you, Chewy. You think of the big debate, the great debate. Yeah. Did Han shoot first? Han and Greedo sitting at the table.
Conclusion?
Yeah, did Han shoot first?
Did he?
Some people think that he actually murdered Greedo. It was not in self-defense.
He did. Han shot first.
Really?
Yes, come on.
No.
We don't have to go down this road.
No, he did not. Clearly did not. He was ready. He knew Greedo's move. And before he could reach for, he just...
Right, he knew it was coming.
He knew it was coming.
In the original cut, he shoots first, and then it was edited later.
We're going to do original cut?
Lucas, right.
We're going to do original cut.
He go.
1977. You were like minus
20 back then.
Yeah, you were minus 20. So I was literally, I was in the theater. I was there. I saw it in 1977.
You had the 3D glasses?
It was a wonderful theater. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. It was one of the most magnificent theaters you've ever been in.
Huge theater.
Yeah, so no, I say he didn't shoot first. It was self-defense, damn it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Barton High, may the 4th be with you. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Mark is in Texas on LeBron. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, I was calling. I don't think anybody wants LeBron. LeBron controls his own destiny. I don't see why they would even think about trading him. And I got another thought. You know, you guys talked about the first game between Memphis and Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and look at Ja Morant when he hit the floor and hurt his back and look and see who did that. That's dangerous. That's dirty play by Golden State. Memphis is the best. Thank you.
Memphis is the best part
exactly,
of it.
Yeah.
So we understand where you're coming from. It's a physical series.
Thanks for listening to us live from Memphis.
That was Houston, Texas. But... remember I told you what Kerr said before the game yesterday? Remember I read that quote to you and you were like, really? Like he said this was going to be the most physical game.
So you know what the conversation is, right? The conversation is like, look, these are the pretty boys. Listen, they're fat, right? Because when I say fat, not physically fat, they're fat because they've been full. They've had a lot of success in this league. They don't know where we are. They don't know. They ain't scrappy of us. We got to be the more physical team. They think they're physical. We're physical. They got one guy that's physical, and that's Draymond. You know, everybody else, this is what I'm telling you that Memphis is saying, the conversation that you have in there. So that's why sometimes players can't control that. So when you ingrain that into their head before the game, then when those opportunities come, they take the aggressive play where normally they probably would have pulled back.
And that's not who you are.
Yeah, they normally would have pulled back and that's like, all right, whatever, I let them get the layup. It's not gonna beat the game and nothing like that. Like, why get in foul trouble or take foul, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's the retaliation? Because it is going to be retaliation. It's not going to be retaliation where we're trying to get thrown out the game. But it's going to be some physical play and some hard fouls, too, to see how they react to it. Because now you get under their skin, and they're the younger team. You got to keep your composure. So now you try and take a hard foul and get them to overreact.
It's like setting that tone, which I think Draymond maybe wanted to do there.
Yeah.
Set that tone. And then the Grizzlies were like, we can do it, too.
Yeah.
And then that's why I think Kerr kind of had a feeling this was going to be a physical game, too. And now the question is, does it stay a physical series or do both teams kind of feel like, all right, we can't mess around now. It's 1-1 and it's a best of five. And this game three, the 1-3, game five, three, and seven are obviously the pivotal games in every best of seven series. This is a pivotal game, no doubt about it. LeBron James is not in the playoffs, but can he be part of a new dynasty if he gets his wish? We'll discuss next. Barton Han, ESPN Radio.
Help you again. Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.